Yes, amen. Praise God. So you're happy so far? I'm glad. I'm glad to see some people from Dubai come back. I thought they'll bring a camel back, but there's no camel, only a person came back. Welcome back from Dubai, sister. Right? And it's good that you came and read the word of God. And I pray that God has given you, and I believe we are in this process of doing things, and God surely will do a lot of things in our lives. Amen? Praise God. God will never forsake. It's good, and I want to give you all a honor to God, but as John was actually giving a testimony, it's a sincere testimony from the heart. That's what we like here. So if you have a testimony, come up and tell me, and you can give a testimony of what you feel. It's important for us, because I also go through the same thing. You think a pastor doesn't go through this? If I'm telling you, I'm lying. There are many pastors go through more problems than me, probably. So sometimes it's difficult, but we all go through. But the steadfast love of the Lord always remains. Lamentation, many of them in my old times, you know, there are two books I always like to very bottom. One I scared to touch is the Song of Songs. The other one is Lamentation is boring. Because every time talks about so many things. And the other one is, no, I don't like what Solomon said. Everything is not good. Right? Everything is not good. I don't like the two, three. It's not positive. But when you read the word of God and understand the word of God, it's a confession God is giving to us in the times of need. Amen? Our God is not a God who just leaves us alone, but He comforts us. He gives us everything that He wants. So I believe that this song, there are many songs that have confession. That is why the word of God says, when you sing your word of God, this word was last time sung. Do you know that this word was sung? In olden times, the King James Version, they used to sing the song. They do not read like that, you know. They sing. They said, in the beginning, and they'll start singing. I don't know the rhymes. If I sing, you'll run away. So they used to sing the word. And I remember my father, and he used to be a thing, he will sing the word in Tamil. And neither can I get the right. So many of them used to sing the word of God so that worship God at the same time. Amen? It's comfort. So it's believed that God, many songs actually gives you life because of the word of God. Anything that comes from the mouth of God gives life to us. Even in the time of distress, the time of discomfort, time of depression, time of hardship, even a time of that people's death is so near, that words become comfort to us. Amen? So they give us life. Amen. Praise God. Father, we just want to thank you for this morning, and I pray, Father, whatever I speak, Lord, it shall not come from my mind or my flesh. It will come from your spirit. Everything that is about in this world, Father, it's about you and you alone. Let your name be magnified and glorified in this message. You speak, Lord, to your children, and you love your children so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Now, if you look at the gospel, and you'll find in Matthew starts off with very good connotations from the beginning itself. He talks about the lineage of Jesus Christ and all those things. And then he comes up here and he talks about chapter 4 verse, then he talks about temptation, and chapter 5 is the most important part of the Matthew's message. The Matthew's gospel, chapter 5 is something we call it, it's very paramount. It's important for us. It's very important. That message is something that opens everyone's heart in our life. So it talks about the mount, the Sermon at the Mount. Sermon at the Mount, any pastors, any man of God who knows the Word of God, anyone who's read the Word of God will know that is the most important part where he talks about what he says to us directly in our hearts. So the Mount, the Sermon at the Mount is very important. So he started with blessed be are the poor in spirit. And he went on. This is actually a connotation he's giving that what he came here for. What did he come here for? And you see in chapter 61 of Isaiah, in Luke chapter 4, verse 18 and 19, also he says that same thing. What he's come here for, to liberate people from everything else. But after that, he goes on to say a lot of things, and he gives a lot of promises, and he goes on to so many things. In chapter 6, he talks about the model prayer and everything else, and go on. I want to concentrate on verse 32 today. And 33. We'll go on to 33 now. Let's read from 25 onwards. We'll go down to 30 and then we'll choose the word 33. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body. What you will put on is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing. Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet their heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than them, than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit of to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Amen. Praise God. Brothers and sisters, the word of God in verse 33 says this very clearly. He says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added. He talks about so many things in before. You can do this, you can fasting, lay up treasures in heaven, lamp of the body, and everything else. But he says, but. When he says but means, what does it mean? The word but means, he starts off a sentence with but, means it to say that everything else is not so important, but it comes to the condition. Whatever I've said before comes to the condition. So whenever you say, let's say for example, you say, no, tomorrow we'll go to a holiday, all the church members get together, all of us go for a holiday, and then we'll have all the food provided, we'll stay in the best hotels, and we'll go to Panko Island, and everything else done. Alright, everybody's excited, is that right? Are you excited? You're not excited. Okay, now. After the lunch, today after service, we'll all go for a beautiful lunch outside there. Oh, somebody said hallelujah already. His stomach is hungry. So please, let us now look at the food afterwards. But whatever you want to do afterwards, whatever I promise, you must listen to this old man here. But you must listen to this man here first all the while. You must bear me for all the while. There is a but. But means there's a condition. You will not get all those things if it is not for this. Right? But. So many times you see the word of God, there are things he will say, therefore, the word of God says, therefore, but, now, hence, all these are words which actually starts off a sentence, meaning say, the word of God does not put there like that, but Jesus said that way, or God has put that word that way, the Holy Spirit, so that there is a condition in our life. Is that right? Don't you tell your children, okay, you want chocolate? Okay, I'll give you chocolate, but you must finish your lunch. You want ice cream? I'll give you ice cream. But you must. Some of them, unless, that's a severe one. This is but unless you do it, I will not do it. Is that right? So now we'll go back to the word of God. He says that so many things he talks about, and then after that he comes in, but. In between all those lines, he says, but now. And he says now, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek. He says seek. That is, he talks about in this first thing, we can understand, there are two things. He is now exposing that it's the kingdom of God. Do you understand what I'm saying? He is exposing now in verse 33, there is such thing as a kingdom of God. So if there is a kingdom of God, there also must be a kingdom which is opposite to the kingdom of God. Hello, do you understand what I'm saying? If let us say I tell you, you know, sometimes I used to say, I don't mind saying this now. If there you say something is haram, that is not right, that must be something not haram. You're right, son. You say something is good, and it must be something bad. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you say this is good, then you know, how do you know it is good? Because there must be something bad, you know that's bad. That's why you say this is good. So you either you sense it, or you know it, or you experience it. Amen? So in the way of God is putting now and saying, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Let's look at the kingdom first. He's now exerting to us, seek first the kingdom. That is the kingdom, he says that. If you go back and you see the word of God, there are so many times talked about kingdoms. And from the beginning itself, from Genesis until even to the end of Revelation, you'll find kingdoms. Kingdoms of whatever the rulers of the earth are. Then you say Israel has got a kingdom. There's a king there. And a kingdom. And all you talk about, kingdom of darkness. Also, there was darkness kingdom. Now, God is now telling us there's a difference now. There is a difference about kingdoms. So many of us now, in the kingdom that we live in, we know that we have been living in a kingdom. Just now we talked about, no, without sin, he was made here. For what reason? For what reason? For one reason only. That we will not have that sin, so that we can come out of the sin and go into a new kingdom. Amen? Amen? That is seen in Galatians. I'll show you afterwards. You'll find that he has conveyed us from one kingdom to another kingdom. Convey means carry us. Conveying means is what? Carry you out. Alright? So to talk about kingdom is something which is very big. And I will start the kingdom message today, and I definitely know it will take a few more weeks to finish the weeks. Okay? Now let's look at seeking. Right? Seeking. He says seek first. What is the meaning of seek? Can you give me words? All I know, all of you are intellectual people in English. Give me words. It's comparative to seeking. Searching. Looking. What else? Striving. What else? Desiring. There is so many words you can say. But why did Jesus say seek? Why did the Holy Spirit give the word seek? Not say, you go and search. He didn't say, you go and look for it. No. Seeking, you know there is something up there, and you seek the person. Do you understand what I'm saying? When you look, you do not know where is it. You're looking for something you lost. That is, if I lose something, I said, I've lost now. We are walking around the grass somewhere around with a field, and suddenly somebody said, oh, I lost my diamond ring now. The whole church will start scanning and combing the whole grass, that area. Is that right? Because the diamond ring is important. It's expensive. And furthermore, the person says now, no, the diamond ring is the only one my husband gave now. This is my wedding ring. How would you feel? I know one sister who lost a diamond ring. She took it out and left it somewhere, and then she went to bathe and come back. And after that, she was crying and crying and crying. She couldn't find it. Till today, she has not found that diamond ring. She said, this is what my husband gave for my wedding. It's so precious. It's not about the money. She can buy 10 diamond rings like that, or her husband can buy 100 diamond rings. It's not about that diamond ring, which is the cost, but it is about that particular diamond ring. Amen? So you know, when you seek something means, you seek. When you want to see in Malaysia, you say that you want to see the king. What do you say? We seek the audience. Is that right? Is that a proper way of saying it? We seek the audience of the king. We seek an audience with the king. We didn't say, we look for the audience of the king. Do you? No, we seek. Seek is more that you know there is something up there. So God is speaking to us today and say, there is a kingdom. And seek the kingdom. Amen? And he says, first. Now let's look at first. When he says first, seek ye first the kingdom. So seek first. First means, first thing to do first. Is that right? Before you want to cook something, the mothers who are here, cook, those who are, even men also cook nowadays, you have to do all the necessary things. You cannot go to the kitchen. Okay, I want vegetables, sayur. I want this cauliflower. It will not just come like that. I want the onion. It will not come, drop down from heaven. You said, I want egg now. I want now one lamb chop, you know. Nothing will come to you, right? You must do something first. First. You must go to the market, buy it, come back and chop it, prepare it before you can cook on the oven. Is that right? Seeking first means is first. First thing must be done first. Otherwise, you cannot get the end result. Do you understand? So first thing must be done. So God speaks to us today, seek and then first. So in everything that we do, we must do the first thing first.
John realized that today, that when he found out the song was something that he said, it's from Lamentation. So seeking the word of God will give you clarification what we sing. Is that right? Seeking the word of God first, so that the word of God can give us clarity and wisdom. Amen. Do you understand what I'm saying? So you'll understand, oh, this is where I write. This song I write somewhere, so I know that. So if I go through somewhere and somebody tells me a word of God and says, oh, this is from the Bible. And I told you many times that, you know, last time, one of the things that I keep and I put an emblem and I put it up on my thing was because I was in the world, I was in the worldly ways. And when I was worldly ways, there is one thing. He who conquers himself is the greatest conqueror by Napoleon Hill. And I thought that was the greatest man. So I thought he was the guru of mine, you know, teaching me all those things, the law of success. And I told you all, those books I think and grow rich, all those were my pocket. I can know them by heart because I found that way is good. But when I started reading the Bible, I found he stole everything from the Bible and started making money from outside. See, it's rewritten. He who conquers himself is greater than the man who conquers the city in Proverbs. Where did he get the word from? From the Bible. Because the Bible is older than him. So today, if you talk to brothers and sisters, the first thing I must have done is, I must have gone to dig the word of God here. I was involved in the world, so I thought everything in the world is great, so I must go and learn all this, the gurus. First things first. Where is the source of all this wisdom? First thing first. I'm sure there was this pastor who came down from Korea. She wanted to, she works with me on a couple of things. She writes on Islamic world. She writes about spiritual realms. She heard about our church. She heard about our anointing in our church. That spiritual realms, we know about spiritual realms. God exposed to us. So she came all the way from Korea. She's writing the latest book. And she wrote the book. She wanted to know a little bit more about jinn and all those things. So first thing first, she knows that Lord has asked her to read the word of God and write about it, you know, expose the demonic powers. So she's in Korea. She has to find it about Islamic things or things that she should know of a different religion. She has got to find out from somewhere the religious authority and all other things. So she cannot sit where she's sitting. She said she found out the books are here. So she has to come here and do the first thing first. Get those relevant documents first. Do you understand? So she had to do the relevant searching first. Then only she went back and wrote the book. So today, if the book is out there today, it's because there was a lot of things she did first before she can come to the end result. So first thing first. In our life, that we have to do is, first thing first in the kingdom of God is important. First thing first. Many of us, what we do is, I wasted my life. I did tell you all of that. A lot of my life was wasted because it was searching the kingdom of the world. And the world has got so much of money, wealth and pride and everything else that we seek so much and stability in our life that we forget God who is the creator and giver of everything else. Amen. That's what we're doing. Many of them are doing. Even Christians till today, they know this word, seek first the kingdom of God. On the Sunday, first day of the morning, I get up, I go to church, the first thing I do, that's okay already. Is that right? Hello? Seek first the kingdom of God. So on Sunday morning, you get up, first thing you do, I pray a little bit. Today, if I go to the church first, and before I go to the cinemas or do other shopping, I'll be alright already today. Is that what we want? Seeking first the kingdom of God. Kingdom of God is something different. Seeking. What is seeking, first of all? Seeking. How do we seek? How do we seek? When we seek something, we must seek with all our heart. You do something, you want to do something, and you really want to do something. Let's say, for example, you are seeking to do something in your life, personal life. You are seeking to get married to a man or a woman somewhere, and you said, I'm seeking my husband, or seeking my wife. Is that right? So if you are seeking, first thing you must do is what? You must seek it with all your heart. With all your mind. Jesus says that very clearly. It's in three gospels is mentioned very clearly. In Matthew chapter 22, verse 37, Mark chapter 12, verse 30, and also in Luke chapter 10, verse 27, it says, love God. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength and with all your mind. So in other words, you are saying when you seek something, it should be your heart must be important. Your soul must be important. When you must be seeking something, that we are seeking God or the kingdom of God, that we must know that we are really, really seeking this. If we are now not seeking that and we are half partially seeking, we call that half pregnant person. He's either pregnant or not pregnant. So he's half seeking. Half seeking, half not seeking. I want to be pregnant, I don't want to be pregnant. Do you understand? I wouldn't know how the condition would look like, but I know when the condition of a person the other day who gave birth was very difficult. Right? So we can understand people who are going, I never mind, I'll satisfy that because the word of God says so. But is it done with your heart? Was it done with your mind? Was your soul involved in it? Was there compassion and love in it? Seeking the word of God. Seeking the kingdom of God. In seeking, you must have heart, full heart. Number two. In seeking, you must have the entire desperation in seeking. When you seek an appointment today, you want to see, if I see the king tomorrow, if I seek the audience of the king tomorrow in Malaysia, I surely know what is my case, whatever case will be taken care of. There are a lot of people in the gallows, you know, who are going through life sentence or even going through gallows. They have to be executed because of whatever crime they have committed. There are a lot of people who are seeking the audience of God, seeking the audience of the king of the nation of Malaysia. Do you follow? I read in an article the other day, which is from India, there is a person he has got released now. There's one man who was the tyranny of India. He is the most corrupt man. He was, I should say, the most dangerous man in India. He is now seeking his life sentence, and he is seeking now with a new president in India, that he is seeking a grace, that his entire sin will be forgiven. His entire crime will be forgiven. He can come out free. So he says, if I seek the audience of the president or the king, I will surely get something right. So you must have, number one. Number two, just now I said it, in seek, you must have something. You must have what? Have the desiring. The desire. The desire you must have is very, very important. I'll tell you about one this man who actually is a teacher. And he is teacher of wisdom. This great wise man had wisdom, so much of wisdom, that he says, no, this young man, say, how come this old man has got so much of wisdom? And I want to learn whatever you say, you know, he's good. Like, you know, Solomon is so good, he can say all those poems and he can come up with so many things. The wisdom he had so much. So this man said, young man said, no, Guru, I want to know, how do I learn to have what you have? He says, okay, fine, let's go. I'll take you and show you somewhere you can learn. So he brought him across the sea, and as he went to the seaside, we'll swim today, he said. Let's all go into the water and swim. So both of them went, wow, this is one of the lessons, first lesson to swim before you get to the wisdom. So the young man was excited. As he went inside to the sea, the old man said, you must follow me, always with me, very close to me. So as he went to the deeper part of the sea, when he came to almost to the shoulder level, so immediately the old man had his hand, a strong old man, had his hand on his head and pushed the young man down under the water. And that man, young man, was struggling 1 minute, 2 minute, 3 minute, 4 minute, until the time he knew he could withstand that breath. Then he let him go. He asked him. Oh, the young man was very furious. You know, young people like me, you know what to do? First you get hot tempered, isn't that right? Blood rises up somewhere, and then all the words will come out, and every word is, you know, attack. You know, it's like a machine gun shooting out. Is it right? And then, you know, you don't care who is standing in front of you, whether father, mother, brother, sister, it doesn't matter. He just shoots you down. Is that right? So the first thing is that he was trying to shoot down. The elderly man said, come down, young man. I want to ask you one question. It's okay, you can scold me. But I want to ask you one question. When you were down there, when I pushed you down, you could not get out. What is the thing that you desired most? He said, I wanted to have that breath again. I want to breathe. How much do you desire to have that breath? How much? If you say in quantum, how much? He says, I really will die to get my breath. Would you believe that he wants to die to get his breath? His desire, his compassion, his desire, his passion was so great that even he wants to just breathe at all. Is that kind of desire, passion we have in our life to seek God's kingdom. In order to seek kingdom of God, which is a kingdom, he says, now he says there's a kingdom. And we want to seek that kingdom, do we have that desire? If tomorrow somebody comes and tell you, I say, this is the new game, you know, the computer game, I want you to understand. So you will go and find the books there. And when I go and search books the other day, how to, you know, somebody gave me, who blessed me with an iPad, and I don't know how to use iPad. I'm, you know, somehow rather illiterate in my computers. So I had to learn how to do iPad. So I went and learned something. I went there, I saw a lot of youngsters, a lot of people there sitting down, learning all the computer books, and everybody is buying all kind of books there. And I said, wow, I'm among the young people, man. The next time I come, I must die myself and come. Alright. So you go there, you see all of them, everyone chatting all the languages which I don't even understand. So as you buy the book, you want to understand that passion you have. So many people want to understand or to learn the iPad or even any technologies or games. You know, when you go to the games shop, oh my Lord, there are so many people, young people, they want all the, they know the games better than me or any one of you sitting here. Young ones. Why? They have the passion to learn that. They have the passion. The passion is so great that can drive the person to understand or to seek what they want. So the driving portion in your life, the driving fire should be the passion that you have for seeking the word of, seeking the kingdom of God. Okay? You must have the driving force. Let's deal with only seeking first. Then we'll go to the kingdom. Then seeking is important. As you seek, you must understand, you also must be patient in seeking. Some of them want, you know, today itself. How many of you want to understand today? You know, the children who play the computers and all those things. Have you seen them playing? No, they make one mistake. I've seen them make things. You know. Can you just imagine? They know they've made a mistake. They go on patiently again and again and again and try. Is that right? Seeking the kingdom of God, you must be patient. You know, some of us want to do it today itself. Some of it wanted yesterday. Like me, I was in the world. I always want things to be done yesterday, not today. So you'll find your staff will be running after you and everybody will be writing. Everybody you'll be shooting. Because you wanted things your way. But in patience, in kingdom of God, you need patience. Wisdom is important. So you have to have patience. Patience is very important to understand, seek the kingdom of God. Jesus did not come and say, today is the kingdom of God. But it took 3 years to explain to the people. Even after the end of the 3 years, the disciple did not still understand everything. You tell me one disciple which understood whatever Jesus said. Tell me. Can you find in the Bible all the Gospels there? And he says, they all understood everything. They have to always ask. They have to go. They are shy to ask in front of the people. No. They go, Lord, just now the parable you said we didn't understand. Did they say that? The apostles admitted that they did not understand the word. So the Lord has got to have patience in teaching. And the people had to have patience to understand. Is that understand? So there was always a patience. The God was tolerant to the people, and the people were tolerant in everything. Whatever mistake they've done, they still seek. So God, you understand, in the seeking of kingdom of God, that's why like this now when he gave a testimony, John gave a testimony, I give testimony, there are many times we fall. When you fall, we get up. The most important, getting up is important. Getting up and saying, God, I'm sorry, and I want to move on, God, help me. You understand? Jesus said it very clearly. I'm not looking for perfect people in the world. I'm looking for sinners in the world. So when we get up, when we walk, and he says, Lord, he's struggling, man. He's really, really struggling. I want to help him. The Holy Spirit surely will help us. Amen? Surely will help us. So patience is important. So patience is important because, you know why? It's understanding the word of God and to know the thing. So we want to know, how come I don't understand this? Never mind. It's okay. I told you sometimes back, there was this book called Jonathan Livingstone Seagull. It's a very thin book, and somebody talked about it in the year 1970. I don't want to mention the year, after you know my age. Early 80s. I went to Singapore, bought it, and I said, I started reading it. You know, this dumb could not even understand that for 7 years, 7 times I read it, I didn't even understand. It took me so many times to read that book to understand what he is saying. Simple, thin book that you have the patience to read that. If I would have given up, I would not understand what he was talking about. You understand? So to understand the word of God, we need patience. To understand and seek the kingdom of God, we have the patience. If you don't have patience, it's difficult. I want to tell you about another story about a man, a young man who wanted to learn Kung Fu. And that was me. when I was young, because I wanted to whack those fellows who were whacking me. So when go to the thing, the first thing, he called all the kung fu master, called everybody, you know, one of the martial arts in Lhaka they teach, you know. This guy called an old man with a beard, little beard, and old man, he's like a trishaw driver, very thin, you know, and tricycle man, you know, who's trishaw in Lhaka. So this man used to teach kung fu. So we all went, the taekwondo all, but kung fu, they said, is very good. So we went there and we started learning. The first day, you know what he did to us? He asked us all to look something. I thought he took out a nice piece of paper, big paper like this, and then he was about to draw something. So we all say, pay attention. He said, pay attention. So look what I'm doing now. So we all were looking whether he's making the, you know, the steps, this step first, that step first, whatever steps he says first, or the leg must go up, or the hands must go up. I do not know. So we all started looking, young guys, you know. We were only 17 years old, remember? All of us excited because we want to show our power outside. All excited. As we bend down, say, look, look. And he went down, bend down. As he bent down, suddenly crushed all the paper. And then after that, you want to see, what did I draw? Pop, opened. He whacked all of us out. My face was whacked. Every one of our face was whacked. And we flew around. Because, you know, Kung Fu Master, you know, he makes like this, also people fly. So we all were flying everywhere. Then the second time, he said, come. Yo, this man, whack us for the first day already. Second time, he put the same thing. Now, he made a different new paper, and he drew something quickly, and then he took out that, and crashed open again. Again, we fell down again, all of us. So he got whacking about, I can say, 6 times he whacked us nicely on my face. This is the true story. And you know what? Ask them, no. Why do you, on the first day, I thought you'll teach us all the techniques today, at least tomorrow we can go and practice and come back. He says, very simple young man, why did you come here to learn Kung Fu? Why do you want to come and learn this art? Oh, he said, we want to defend ourselves. Some one fellow said, no, he was a gang group. No, I want to learn so that I can be a better person in the gang. He said one thing. If you want to learn something, you must have patience. When you don't have patience, you'll not learn what you want to learn. That was my first lesson in the age of 17 years old. So God tells us today, we must have patience in our life. Patience. Patience is important. Patience is important. Patience, without patience, we cannot do. So we cannot get angry all the time and excited all the time, because without patience, we cannot go to the next step. Amen? Patience is important. The third thing, fourth thing we need seeking is important. Perseverance. I think you all know perseverance. The word of God speaks very well about seeking. Seek the work of God, you know, the kingdom of God, with perseverance. You know, the miners, there was a miner who was mining the gold, and suddenly he gave up halfway and went off. I did tell you the other day, you know, in my life, which till today I'm seeking the young man. It's a young man who was handling computers in Mid Valley. And when I went to repair the Mid Valley, our computers at the time, and he said this. I asked him, are you a Christian? His name is Martin. And he said, I'm a Christian, he said. And are you going to church? He says, I don't want to go to church. Why do you want to go to church? He says, not easy being a Christian, but it's easy to become with the devil. He said that word to me. And I was compassionate about him. I said, look, this young man, all those things, the hair all dyed, you know, the shirts all dyed, and all looked like very difficult. And I think either he's on drugs, on how many things he's been involved in. And he says, in all the tattoos, doesn't look nice. So I said, no, Lord, I want to see him. Why? Because this guy doesn't have the perseverance with the Lord. He didn't have the perseverance. Somebody didn't teach him that you must persevere with the Lord. You stand with the Lord. Just stand. Whether you fall down, stand up again and say to the Lord. Stand up, fall down, never mind. Stand up again, Lord, I'm standing up again here. Lord, fall down again, never mind. Stand up and say, Lord, I'm here again. God surely will help him. God surely will help somebody. I've seen people, as I told you last week, you know, this woman who was just 1 month old, Christian, doesn't know how to read and doesn't know how to write. Doesn't know the word of God. She's a new believer and believer from another religion. And a religion which is very difficult to be converted. But she has come to know the Lord within 1 month. And I said, just pray. Now, I'm here telling her, I prayed only once on the phone with her, but put down, but not with the cops. You know, the person is dead. I didn't pray for the person there. I only prayed with her. And then she said, I told her, pray. Machamana mo, how do I pray? Is there a verse to say? No, just say, Jesus, tolong. Jesus, help me that this man will be saved. This man will come out of his accident. And he died, but still she continued praying. She, tolong, dia sudah mati. Tolong Tuhan Yesus, saya tidak kenal dia, tapi tolong dia. 2 days later, he got up on the 3rd day. Why? It's the power of perseverance. Do you understand what I'm saying? When he was met in an accident, she prayed. And I prayed with her. I didn't know he died. But the perseverance made her to pray that she knows and longs and knows, if I seek this kingdom, if I seek this place where I go, and that's what this man came and told me once, I'm sure I will get what I want. If I seek this kingdom, if I seek the king of the kingdom, surely I will get what I want. And the man rose up on the 3rd day. 2 days he died, he rose up. And everybody was shocked. Preparation to send him back to Indonesia was all cancelled. Why? Because there was perseverance. If the person would have given up the day, right, she would not experience her prayer. Only one person praying in that place. Only one person praying in that house. And she prays and the person got up. Let me say, she has persevered. She's experienced the kingdom of God. Now nobody can shake her. They can cage her somewhere and tell her that, you know, she cannot become a Christian, but nobody can shake her because she's experienced that kingdom. Amen. Praise God. Glory to God. So she's experienced. Experiencing the kingdom of God, you need to have patience. And above all, perseverance. Perseverance. Many of times, you know, people will come and say, you know, Pastor, I went to the year and he said, Lord, you just pray. Surely the man will rise up. I went to the year, prayed. And I scared, no, everybody else around, you know, I prayed. They think I'm whispering something to the dead body. There are people I know of who persevered. Did not happen. It doesn't matter. Whether your heart, in your heart, did you persevere? Persevering to seek the kingdom of God is important. What is the kingdom of God? And he says, seeking kingdom of God is important. First seek the kingdom of God. First seek. You must know how to seek. You know, we get tired by seeking. We write a letter, first letter, the Agong doesn't reply, second letter, the PA doesn't throw it away in dustbin, third letter also thrown in dustbin. You are still applying for an audience. One day, when the Agong says, why is this fellow every time writing to me? Surely, he will give an audience. Amen? Amen? So God says that seek first the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom? If there is a kingdom, that means say there is a suggestion. When he says there is a kingdom, Jesus said there is kingdom. If there is a kingdom, there must be a king. Without a king, there is no kingdom. Hello? You tell me which kingdom has got no king, and yet it is a kingdom. Right? Are you with me so far? You must understand, Jesus said something. In the Old Testament, you'll find so many kingdoms. You'll find in Daniel, the largest number of kingdoms is mentioned is in the book of Daniels. The book of Daniels, he talks about kingdom. He saw this kingdom, he saw that kingdom, this kingdom come down. 40 over times it's mentioned kingdom in one book itself. Why? That kingdom, he even said, the kingdom will come one day. Amen. Amen. Isaiah chapter 6. He said he saw the glory of God. And he saw the glory of God. And he said, who am I? I am so unworthy. My lips are really, really rotten. Sinful lips. I've seen with the eyes the King of hosts. Isaiah chapter 6 verse 5. He said he's seen the King. If there is a kingdom, there must be a King. Amen. So if you are talking about a kingdom, seek the kingdom. Lord, if you say, you go to Thailand and seek the kingdom of Thailand, who are you going to seek? You are a chess player? If you are a chess player, everybody is seeking to kill the king. Is that right? So the king is important. But if in order for you to understand, the kingdom has got one kingdom, he says, the kingdom of God is hand. Okay, I'll give you the scriptures. There are so many scriptures, I will give you some of it, okay? Matthew chapter 10 verse 7, he says that. And as you go, preach saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers. Matthew chapter 10 verse 7. Cleanse the lepers. Raise the dead. Cast out demons. Freely you receive, you have received, freely give. That means to say, he says, go out and say, kingdom is at hand. Kingdom of God is at hand. It's already here. So when the kingdom comes means there must be a king thrown to it. Is that right? So the earth had a kingdom now. The earth has now come to a kingdom. The kingdom of God has come to earth and says now the king of the kingdom is Jesus. All right? Amen? Amen? If kingdom of God, there must be a king. The kingdom is king. That is why Jesus many times says that every authority has been given to me. I spoke to you all about it. Matthew 28. We also talked about Mark 16. And we talked about, you know, he said that kingdom is given to me. All authority has been given to me. The kingdom received the authority from the Father in heaven, the Creator himself, and the King, Jesus, as a person, is the King. Amen. King is only a person now. Can there be a king without be a king? He said there's a king and then there's no person sitting on the throne. We are human beings now. What do you say tomorrow that Malaysia has got a king? They say this is the king's throne and everybody sits down there. The king is seated there, lah. You're looking, where's the king? The king is seated. The king is sitting, you can't see. He's in spirit, he's sitting there. No, nobody would believe. A king for us means it's only in the kingdom of on the earth that is a kingdom. So there must be a person in life must be sitting there. Throned, robed as a king. Is that right? So the king has to be seeked. So now you want to seek the first the king. Seeking. First, you must seek. Seek who? Seek the kingdom. When you seek the kingdom, who are you looking for in the kingdom? Looking for the king of the kingdom. You understand what I'm saying? You know where I'm getting now? You must seek the kingdom. In the kingdom, you go there. Oh, you go to Thailand. This is the kingdom lah. I've already come ready to the kingdom. Is that okay? But no, you must know the character, the past part of the life of the king of Thailand. Is that right? You must know the past characters of him. What is he? Who is he? And what is he made of? How did he become a king? You must know the characters. You must know his history, right? Is that right? So that is why we must know the king that is in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God has got one king only. And that king's name is? In Hebrew is what? Yeshua HaMashiach. In English is? Jesus. In Chinese is? Hello? Huh? Yesu. In Tamil? Yesu also. So everyone says it is Jesus. Alright? It's important for us to understand that Jesus is the only one who is throned up there as a king. That is why when Jesus in the last chapter, he says that, my kingdom is not of here. My kingdom, if my kingdom is here, I will definitely tell Pilate, no, my kingdom, if I call upon those people, my soldiers will come. Who are the soldiers? The angels will come and take him and kill him now. Right not? Will take control of it. My kingdom is not here. Yours is a personal kingdom. The kingdom here, Pilate, you are sitting here. This kingdom is not mine. Not Caesar's kingdom, but the kingdom I have is different. Amen? Amen. So there must be a kingdom. When he is the kingdom, that is when he is the king of this kingdom of God, there must be another kingdom which says another kingdom is around. Hello. So what is the other kingdom? Genesis chapter 1 verse 1 to 2 it says, in the beginning, the Spirit of God was hovering around what? Hovering on what? What he was hovering on? Darkness. Not on water, darkness. What did the God ask first? Did he say form the earth first? Did he say form the earth first? He said what? Let there be light. The kingdom of God is the light and the kingdom of darkness is dark. That is why in Galatians, you turn to Galatians chapter, chapter 1, sorry. Galatians chapter, excuse me for this. No, sorry. Let's turn to 1 Colossians 1, chapter 13. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. Sorry. For he delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. His light. What did he say? He has conveyed us from the time when darkness, the king of darkness is what did he do? The word of God says what? The prince of darkness, what he does? Steal, rob, and kill. He is the father of lies. There are so many things you can talk about. As I continue my messages next week and a week after next, or not next week, the following week, I'll show you the kingdoms everywhere he talks about everything. It's important for us to understand. The kingdom of man, why did God say that Jesus must be the king? And he says now kingdom, why didn't he say it before? Because there were a lot of kings in this earth. And above that, in Abraham, it says, the king of Salem, Melchizedek, came. It's important for us to understand all these verses so that we understand how God placed his purpose on King Jesus Christ. It's important for us to understand. So now this time, and he says that the kingdom of darkness, we are now conveyed those who believe in him, because that is why John 14, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Kingdom of darkness, in darkness, what do? You can't see. Is that right? Can you see darkness? I used to do this communication therapy. You know what's communication therapy during my life, my time of motivation and all this in my world? Kingdom, the therapy of darkness is, of communication is closing the light, switching off the light. It all should be black, dark, pitch dark. And we'll get groups of people. One will say meow, another one will say ow or dog, and we'll say another one horse, another one will be a different, something which people can make noise with. So these four groups, we'll divide them into four, and we'll say now, and mix them all around. Right, we choose number one and we mix them all around. So in the darkness, you're supposed to go and find your people of your same kind. If you say meow, you must look for the people who are meow. If you say whoa, whoa, you must go and look for the people who go whoa, whoa. You understand? It's a massive thing because, you know why? People get curious. They have to hear. They can't see. As they hear, there is somebody else 2 or 3% before them. They have to stumble over them. You understand what I'm saying? The art of communication is to understand, to see. That's why we ask them to see when you communicate each other. So it's important for us to understand now, as I put it back into the kingdom of God, it's so kingdom of God is light. You can see. Transparent. You can see the way. You can see where you are going, what you are doing. You know what is there before you and what is there. And before you, about even 10 miles before you, you can see what is going to happen. But in the kingdom of darkness, you can't see. You stumble, you fall down. Many times in darkness, we fall down. Do you know why? Why people like us, many people in the world who are Christians, fall down to sins? Because we still walk in the dark life. Do you understand? We get ourselves opened up into dark lives. We open doors everywhere, so we fall down. We have to build ourselves in the light first. Okay, that is why, even in chapter 6, just now in Matthew, he says before that, you must be the light. You are the light. Your body will be the light. How can the body be the light? It's because the Spirit of God will come inside you and you will now convert from now the old darkness. Now as you are converted into the new world of light, you know, convert into His love, that the love of God will come upon you and you will have the light of God inside you, Christ inside you. The Spirit of God lives in you and give you the light. The Spirit of God has got chapter 17 of John. You will see what He says. He says He will come here. He'll give you what? He'll teach you. He'll be the comforter. He'll be the one who'll guide you. Amen? Amen? Teach him of what? Of what Christ is like. He will take from me and teach you. He will not take from the Father. He'll take from me and teach you. Now, what is that we are looking for in a kingdom? A kingdom, when you go out and see, when you come to a church, sometimes they ask, what does this church has got to offer? Yeah, I want to come and just sit down and do, I want to bring my children, I want to have my children go to ministry, and I will sit down here and just listen, I do my duty and go off. But this church likes people who are pioneers, who are willing to break grounds. Do you understand what I'm saying? Are willing to break grounds. You can go through tough time, but you know you'll never die because Christ is with you. I'll create a new ministry. That's what it's all about in this church. Right? You stand still and stand still on all those things that comes against you, and you'll stand still and still say, yes, I will make sure this ministry will be successful. Whatever ministry God gives you in this church. So it's not pioneering. You are a pioneering person so that you can be used for pioneering in other places. So apostolic anointing is pioneering. Pioneering means to go out somewhere and break grounds. So if you don't get break grounds in your home church, how can you break ground somewhere else? Hello? So that is why here in this church and everywhere we come, you come here, look, what have I got to offer this place? Or you come to another country. Now many people migrate from this country to go to Australia. Have you seen many of them? I understand from ministry there are so many people now applying for going out of country, this country, Malaysia. They're feeling insecure in this nation. Why? They know what is being offered in this country. They know what is being, know what is in this, happening in this country. They know what is the situation in this country. They know what the king of this country can offer you and not offer you. Whether you know the life in the future, your generation future, your future descendants will be well off. Your children will be well off. You are seeking whether what, you know very well what is going to happen. So then you compare with another country. Now you go out, somebody invited you to Australia. Oh, come and see Australia. Wow, nice country, la. Yeah, very nice, huh? There are no mates, la. But never mind. Without mates also, we can survive, you know. Can you just imagine, I ask some people who are so rich. They go there, they have all about 7-8 mates here. And they go there, they have no mates. And they're willing to go to that country, because why? There is a future in that country for them. Do you follow what I'm saying? So if they know, they look at the promises the country has given. They look at the constitution of the country. They look at the health programs in the country. They look at the educational program in the country. They look at the finances that they provide in the country. Although there are many, not many people, they know the people will grow. There shall be a place for them and for their future children. Is that what you look for? Is that what you look for? So that is what we look for when you come into a kingdom. A kingdom, when you come into Jesus Christ's kingdom, he looked for the king. What is his character? What is he offering you? So every promises that he has given is in the Bible. Is that right? He has given, offered us everything that he wants. He laid down for us and even said that today, that because you are in the darkness, I have to convey you. There must be a conduit. To convey something, there must be a conduit. You understand what is a conduit? There must be a vehicle to transport you. What is the vehicle? Who is the vehicle? Jesus Christ became that vehicle for us. To convey us from that place of darkness into that light. Do you follow what I'm saying? So the king now is not the king only. He's not only offering you of a life, a future, like what many of us see what country offers. Now many of them wanted to go to America. They also don't want to go. They say future is uncertain. They want to go to England. They see the way it is like. They come back because the children all are growing different, weird now. Right? They find only Australia or New Zealand is a better place to stay. If you understand. So same way, the king of this kingdom is offering every one of us something. The problem with our Christian's life is because we don't know the offering. We don't want to find that offering. We don't want to seek that what he is giving. That is why we have a problem. Do you understand what I'm saying? We don't seek. If you know, some of them are going to say, I'm going to Australia, migrating. He says, Ayah, you bodoh punya orang lah. Sini ada semua apa mau pergi sana. Everything you got here in this world, why you want to go that side? But you have searched. You have compared this kingdom here, and you've compared the other side. So the other person doesn't understand. Why? Because he did not do research. He didn't read. He didn't know. He didn't explore. So unless and until we seek, you had a passion to go and seek about Australia or whatever country you want to go to, you had a passion, the desire to seek what is of that kingdom is offering you, that is why you want to go there. Do you follow what I'm saying? So today, we have to know what God is offering in the kingdom of God. In the kingdom of God, there must be a king. The king must be the person who is a good ruler. What are his characters? What are his past life? His past life is, he was in the spirit with God, with the word. The sister read it today morning. He says, John 1, he says, that he was in the beginning with the word, and he was the word, and with him all things were created. So he was the word. So when the word became alive, and became alive as man today, he has to be man to pay for the man's price. So he has come as a man. So the kingdom's record is now Jesus is willing now to come here and to die for you. Number one, his past life. He remained as a word, but now he has come as a conduit. He's willing to become that vessel. He is willing to become that road. That's why he said, I am the way. The way means I am the way, the road. The highway. I am the highway. You cannot find another highway because there is no king will come and say, I lie down for you, you cross over me. Can a king do that? In fact, the king looks for somebody to bow down so he can walk on him and go on to the other side. Tell me which king in the world has ever done that? History can say that. So when you seek a king, a kingdom, a character of the kingdom, you must see his past. Record of himself. There's no king in the world I know of who has ever said that, oh, my people are so many people, I think some of them weak already, walking after so long, I will lie down as a bridge, you walk over me and go to the other side. When I'm tired, I'll ask my son to be there, and my children will be there for you to ride. Has anyone done that? They don't care. Whether you die or don't die, I must walk first. I don't care whether you are hungry or not hungry, you must safeguard me first. Is that right? There is a difference between the king of the world of darkness and the world and the king of the kingdom of God. So when you seek the kingdom, you look the character of the king. His past, you know his record. He came, and the word of God says that he came to heal. Well, let me say, when he said that, go ye now, and you say that the kingdom is at hand, of God is at hand, you go out and what? He says, kingdom of, heal the sick. And as you go, chapter 9, verse 7, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, heal the sick. See, he says, in the kingdom of God, there should be no sicknesses. Hello? When you come to the kingdom of God, I want people to be healthy as what it was. You are supposed to be healthy as what you are supposed to be. As what God says you are supposed to be. You and I are supposed to be healthy. So in the kingdom of God, the word of God says that in the same sentence, verse 7 says, he says very clearly, go and say the kingdom of God is at hand. It's now here. Right? It's now here. And you go out and preach the word of God. And he says now, heal the sick. Heal the sick. And then he says, cleanse the leper. There's no leprosy in the kingdom of God. There's no decaying of a body in the kingdom of God. Do you understand what I'm saying so far? In the kingdom of God, you must find the truth. The truth is Jesus, the word of God. And the word of God says that today, that the word of God says that in the kingdom of God, you shall not have all these things. So you go and cleanse them out. You drive them out. He says, cleanse the lepers. Raise the dead. Oh. Raise the dead. In the kingdom of God, there is no death. Hello? There is the kingdom of God, there should be no death. Matthew 10:7 says it very clearly. He says, you go. Jesus said it himself. You go now and preach the word of God. As you go out and you preach, and you say this out to the people, cast out demons. And he said also, cast out demons. If the kingdom of God comes, the demons cannot stand. Because you know why? The kingdom of demons is darkness. Amen. Say amen to that. Because you know why? It's important for you to understand. So the kingdom of God has got to be presented as a kingdom, as what kingdom is supposed to be. Not a kingdom that we perceive to be. What our perception should not contradict with the word of God. Our perception must be in line with the word of God. Our thoughts should be word in the word of God. Word of God is the Jesus Christ. The word became flesh. The flesh is true. So we have to have that word. That word is important. That word says that it must be in line with me. That in the kingdom of God you shall not have sickness, no leprosy, you shall have fall not sick, and you will not have dead people, there's no life. That is why Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's no death. So whatever steals them away to give them all this is the demons. He says that cast the demons out. In the kingdom of God, demons cannot coexist with the kingdom of God. They cannot be inside the kingdom of God. They coexist outside of the kingdom of God. Do you understand what I'm saying? What has God light to do with darkness? Darkness got to do with light. It's got nothing to do with it. There are two separate things. Light is light. Darkness is darkness. So darkness cannot come into the kingdom of God and behave like darkness. Do you understand what I'm saying? So you have to understand that the word of God is true, and he says that. And he says another chapter I give it to you is verse... Chapter 12, verse 28, Matthew 12:28. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you today. Surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. And when? Is it today? At the time of Jesus came, itself the kingdom of God has come. Amen. Amen. Kingdom of God has got to be there. So he said, with the finger of God, with the Spirit of God, by the finger of God, he cast out demons. So finger of God means he's the Father in heaven. So as a man, he says Son of Man can cast out demons in the name of Jesus, or in the name of the Father in heaven. The finger of God was pointed out. So the finger, when you raise up your hands and say, demons, get out, goes out. Why? Because in the kingdom of God, demons cannot enter. That is holiness. Just now you sang the song. He's holy. You're sitting and standing on holy grounds. When you're on holy grounds, you cannot have the unholiness coming into the holy grounds. What has God, unholiness got to do with the holiness? How do you know that? You go back and read Paul's letters. You'll find he says, what has God, those people who do not know the Lord, got to do with you who have come to the light? Amen. Praise God. So in Matthew chapter 11, verse 11 says, John the Baptist, take the kingdom of God, he says it very clearly, kingdom by, let's read that one, very important. Matthew chapter 11. Assuredly I say to you, Jesus says it, assuredly I say to you, among those born of women, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist, but he who is the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. What happened? In the beginning, from the beginning time until the day of John the Baptist, when he announced the kingdom of God is here. Here comes the Lamb of God. Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And when he said that, until the day, there was violence. People were taken away violence. Even the prophets, and even the prophetess who came, people of man of God, God has chosen, they were killed by the kingdom of God. Got a kingdom of the darkness. Jeremiah, Isaiah, the way they died, you will understand, you will really be pitiful. Isaiah was killed, put on a tree and sawn. Jeremiah, Ezekiel, look at every prophet who came by. Look at every person who came by. Except for, you look at man of God like, Elijah, who was taken up by God. But many of the prophets who came, they died a miserable life. Because in the kingdom of darkness, there is death. Do you understand what I'm saying? He's saying, until the day, today, everybody took violence in their hands to kill the kingdom of God. But today, he says that today, at the kingdom of his hand, and you know, you have the authority back again. You shall not take it by violence now. You shall take it now, gracefully, all those things you have. Amen? So kingdom of God is separate from the kingdom of darkness. In order for us to understand that a little bit further, I want you to know, kingdom of God has got promise. In Luke chapter 5, you read, we talked about so many things. The kingdom of God must reflect the king. What the king is, that is how the kingdom will be run. Do you understand what I mean? They said, look at the father like the son. Is that right? Is that a saying in the world? Like father, like son. Why do they say that? Look at the father and you see, look at the son. They're both same characters, lah. They look alike, lah. But you see, the kingdom of God must reflect the king. How does the king behave? That is how the kingdom behaves. You understand what I mean? The kingdom, the king must behave that way. That's how it is. See, sometimes back, I won't mention anything. God told me that the kings of this land you're talking about is now all the kings are all pirates. So because they are pirates, they steal, rob, and they do their lawlessness. They will create law, but they don't follow the laws. Because they are original pirates. Do you follow what I'm saying? If your character is a pirate character, all your subjects will also be pirates. So you must see the reflection of the people. If the head of the government is supposed to be all corrupted, so then all of the people down under him will all be corrupted. Because it reflects the person who is on the top. If the church here doesn't stand by righteousness, if the pastor doesn't stand by righteousness, if the pastor doesn't walk in that way, if a pastor doesn't say, submit to the things of the world, then that's how the people here will be like. If the pastor submits everything in the world, and he says, no, the leader of this church says, this bolelai, tu bolelai, ni bolelai. It's okay, I close my eyes, lah. But the people also in their own life will close their lives, will close their eyes and say, never mind, lah. Tutup one mata, lah. Can close one eye. Because there is no sequence. There is no reflection. That is why a kingdom, when a kingdom has got somebody, let's say Thailand has got a kingdom, they send ambassadors to outside. When they send ambassadors outside to the Malaysia, the king's authority is upon the ambassador. So the ambassador must reflect like the king. You follow what I'm saying? The ambassador must reflect like the king. He must think like the king he thinks. So you and I are in the kingdom of God, so we are ambassadors of God. When we are ambassadors, we must operate like an embassy. Every one of you are embassy people. You're a counselor, you're an ambassador. And you and I are ambassadors. So the way that God, the Lord Jesus Christ is the king, he reflects to us, he gives us, you know, when you come an ambassador, when you see all the Malaysia, when the ambassador comes to Malaysia, he'll bring a credential from their land. Is that right? He'll bring a big credential, whatever. He'll say, this is how it's going. So he'll give all those things to the king of this nation. And then he'll accept it. And then I appoint you as ambassador here. Now, what does it mean? When we are accepted as Jesus, children of God, we are ambassadors of God. So what we behave, how we reflect, how we think, will be also the reflection of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ's image shall be upon us. The reflection of the kingdom and the embassy is the same. It's a mirror. You follow what I mean? It's a mirror. When you see the image of the king, then you see the image of the ambassador. She must reflect. So we as Christians, we must understand that basically. Why are we going away from this? Why are we searching the world? That is why you'll find the Old Testament. Don't you find, don't you find a man of God in this land of Israel? You have to go out and look for soothsayer outside. Cursed be you. Man, he surely died. In the Old Testament. I tell you how God is powerful. When you're in the kingdom of God, we have to seek the king. We're in sickness, in bad health, in good times, in the times that we are already shaken, in the times that we have no problem, we are in a stormy wave, we still go to the king because the king is the answer for it. Amen? The king has the authority for it. King can say now, I want to say now, angels get forth. Now go and take care of this child. Surely many hundred thousands of them will come and take care of you and I. I believe that. You believe that? Amen to that. Amen. Because God's kingdom is different from the kingdom of the world. The kingdom of the world has got to operate with so many things. You don't have to have cables behind. You don't have to go to another person to have a cable and say, oh, please, can you get me an appointment with the king? No, Ned. This kingdom, your ambassador can see the king anytime. Hello? Do you follow what I'm saying? An ambassador has an authority to see the king because he's a reflection of the ambassador, of the king. Ambassador is a reflection of the king. So we must behave that way. So understand that there is. In the kingdom, the word of God says that in Matthew chapter 6, you will find the verse itself from just now as I read. He says, do not worry. Don't you see the things that in the world that you whatever you're worried about? You're worried about your clothing. You're worried about your food. You're worried about tomorrow. There are so much worries for today. That itself will take care of you. Let me say, he says, telling you, today's worry itself should make you busy. Why you worry about tomorrow? Do you understand or not? Today's things also you cannot handle. You want to think about tomorrow. Huh? You can't handle 10 ringgit. You want 1 million ringgit. You understand? I'm saying to you. You can't handle people now give you 5,000 ringgit. Are you, what am I going to do with 5,000 ringgit? Or 100,000 ringgit? I don't know what to do with this. You know, I must spend this amount. You're thinking of so many things how to do that. When you get 1 million today, what happens? You don't know. So you don't worry about what is going to happen tomorrow. For tomorrow will take care by itself. There will be worries on the day itself. Today you worry about it. You're worried about your clothing. You're worried about your future husband or wife. You're worried about who is going to be this. Who is going to be this then. You know, what is going to happen to my children. I have got worry too. My sons. But I tell them, I said, Lord, I said, I give them up to you. If they do wrong, that is your problem. And you take care of them from now on. I can tell what I can tell. I can teach what I can teach. But if you don't want to listen, that's your problem. I've done my part. I've been ambassador. But ambassador has got only restriction. He cannot go and shoot down people. The ambassadors are not given a gun, you know, to go and shoot down everybody in this nation because these people don't like the nation of another nation. Is the ambassador given a gun? Ambassadors in the nations are not given a gun to shoot down anybody who comes and protests in front of the embassy and say, no, we don't like this. America, I want to curse you or whatever. They'll do all of this. Do they shoot them down? Have you seen that? Same way, in our kingdom, we just become ambassador. We are not supposed to shoot them down. Jesus did not shoot them down. He did any in the walk of Jesus Christ in the last 3 years when he did this, did he shoot anybody down? He only said to the Pharisees and the scribes. He called them names. He called them, you are not the son of Abraham, the seed of Abraham. Your father is not. And he called them what? And John the Baptist called them worse, you know, you snakes. Right? Jesus didn't say anything much. Because that's what he did. So his reflection should be upon us. His words should be upon us as ambassadors. So in the word of God, it says that you'll find in the kingdom of God, there is supplies. There is everything that God wants to give us. He says, do not worry. Worry is one of the things that bogs down. Because of worry, many of us can't operate in things that we have to operate. Because of worry, I worry something, I cannot operate the church very well. Do you understand what I'm saying? If I worry so much, and oh, this is happening, this is happening, this is happening. If I worry, all these things are going to submit me and cram me and become like a python holding me out. I cannot move out. Worry is like a python. You understand what I'm saying? Worry cripples and breaks the bones. Worry does not make. You can worry for a while. After that, you should let go. Because if you trust God, if you trust the king, that the kingdom you are in, then you should let go. You complain to the king already. The king's choice whether he wants to do it today morning or tomorrow morning or day after tomorrow. That's his problem. The problem exists, but the king only can take care. Do you understand what I'm saying? So we have to understand that the kingdom has got its purpose, and the kingdom that we are seeking, you must understand the character of the king. And you must know the promises of the king. And you must know what kind of life he gives us. And the word of God says, then I love this very much. He said, I'm going to the Father's, my Father's house. There are many mansions. I go prepare for you. Where I am, you shall be. Hello. That is a very powerful word. Where I am, you shall be. And I prepare for you a place. That's why he says life. There is no death in the kingdom of God. There is no death. Eternal life he gives us. Amen. And that is in the kingdom of God. He says, he compares them with like birds. And he compares them like a grass. The grass is so beautiful. Even the flowers are so beautiful when it comes out. How many of you love flowers? How many of you don't love flowers? Nobody's putting up. So that's a better question than asking flowers. Because everybody's trying to put up. Now, every one of us love flowers. But today you see the flowers and a few days later the flower goes off. Is that right? But who fed the flowers? Did you feed the flower? Did you buy all this? You know, you said, I bought all those things. Even you buy all those, the fertiles. You buy and put, so sometimes it can die. I bought one flower for somebody. And after that, the pastor, I didn't see the pastor. I did all the thing I can do. The flower died within a few days. The whole pot died, you know. I said, Lord, what am I doing? Did all my best, you know. I even put beside the sunlight there, you know. Nothing happened. The flower surely died. So who got life on him? It's him. Nineveh. Jonah had the same problem. There was a plant which came up overnight. And he says, no, oh, this is very nice. With the hot sun, this is very nice for me to cool down and relax, you know. And the next day, it died. And he cursed God, you know, today take away. Who's holding the life of the plant? God. He said the flowers and God, Jesus compares. He says the lilies, not only lilies, but he said lily is the worst, the least among all. But among all, he says that now, he says now to you, all of us, you know, like birds. But the birds are not worried about tomorrow. They only bring into the barn for the day, eat. They eat the day, finish. Have you seen the chicken, you know, having a small nest there? Out of the nest, they've got a supply barn, a storeroom. Or do you see a bird's nest where you have so much of, you know, one storeroom for this one storeroom for the grains, one storeroom for this thing? Have you seen that? I've seen bird's nest, but I've never seen a storeroom inside there. Neither have I seen any food inside there. Because every food that comes, they eat up. Even the chicks, you know, they'll wake up, even drops also, they'll eat. There's nothing left over. That's why he compares us with the birds. Some of the animals will keep. They know where it's the prey is. They will go back again and eat. Right? The bird, like an eagle, will always look for a fresh meat. So that's why he compares. He says, do not worry. And in the worries, you don't have to worry about all these things. Luke chapter 5. you'll find in Luke chapter 5, it talks about Peter, and he went on a boat, and he set the boat and went out, and went to sail. I talked about the shore Christians and also the deep sea Christians, you know? Remember I told you? Did I tell you? The shore Christians and the deep sea Christians. I'll talk to you about it later. So he says, go. In that verses you'll find, 11 verses you'll find, Jesus showed that the kingdom of God has got number one, providence. When he said, cast out your net this place, he cast out, there was great providence for the people. Number two, there was a promise for him. There was a promise that he will provide the providence. He said, so and cast out the thing. There was a promise. And Peter just abided by the promise. He stood by the promise. But because you say, I've toiled the whole night, but because you say, because of your promise, I'm sure he's going to cast out my net. And he got a great fetch. Number three, there is a future. Right? There is a promise. There is also a future in his life. Providence, promise. Number three, he received a promotion. What promotion? He was a catcher of fishes. Now he has become a catcher of men. Amen? He was promoted to become no more catching fish. Don't go to the sea. You come with me, catch men. Promoted from the sea water to land. So when you depend on, look at the king, you'll have the promise, the providence, and also a promotion. Amen? Amen? I know you all are getting hungry. I'll stop here. I'll continue my kingdom the next time. First of all, today we understood that in order for us to get whatever we want to have, in order for us to go away from the worries, we have to understand there's a reason. There's a but. The but is, you must do this first. All those things cannot be added to you. All these things cannot come to you if you have this done first. What is the first thing to do first? Is to seek. Seek what? You have to seek what? And seek, how do you seek? How do you seek? How do you seek? Jesus said, seek. I come here and look in the church. I can't find the kingdom. You can't find in the kingdom. And I will tell you later, where is the kingdom? Right? Can't find the kingdom. But you see, next he says, seek what? Seek the kingdom of God. And then we have to talk about the next one, righteousness. So we talk about kingdom today. We have not finished kingdom today, but we have to seek the kingdom. In the kingdom of God, you have to look for the kingdom's king. The kingdom of king of the kingdom will show what he has got for you and I. If you know his track record, his proven record, that he has done all these things, then you surely will believe. So he's got a record. All the records are here. All the promises are here. All you have to do is just take it out. Seek first. Seek his kingdom. Seek his kingdom and you will find everything else. And in the kingdom of God, there is promise, there is providence, there is promotion. Amen? Praise God. Father, we just want to thank you, Father. Your kingdom is forever and ever. You reign in our lives forever and ever. You are the king. And the king that is appointed by Father in heaven, you are the king, Lord Jesus. We want to thank you that, Lord, you are the king, no one else. A king who will lay down his life for his people. And above all, Lord, you have got promises. Promises of Lord that there is abundance in your place. There is life. There is no sickness. There is promise we will never be the same again. In the kingdom of God, we can always look at you and hope at you. There is a hope in the kingdom of God for the future and a future of life. Father, we just want to thank you for this moment of Father. Thank you for all that you've done for us through your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, that your Holy Spirit now lives in us and gives us a light, and we shall be the light. And we will remain being the light. Father, help us. Help us through your Son, through your Spirit, that we'll always remain faithful to you and walk in that light and never, never forsake the light. In the most precious name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.